Greetings, friends, and welcome to this broadcast of Bible Studies. Ken Berger, speaker. It is with reluctance today that we close our current series of studies, Living Evidences of God, or the Evidences of the Living God Seen in His People. Once again, our theme verse, for the last time, 2 Peter 1 and 3. His divine power hath given unto us all things that pertain unto life and godliness through the knowledge of Him who hath called us to glory and virtue. These are living things. They are the things that pertain to life. And today on the broadcast, we want to talk about our living hope. Those listening to the broadcast, the last broadcast, will remember that we took up the subject of the living hope under three headings: hope's character, hope's service, and hope's realization. Now, these studies are really climactic. We have a hope, and that hope is living within us, and that hope will see us right into heaven itself. Now, I think we shall pick up where we left off last broadcast in hope's service to us, and we will say that it is indeed an energizing hope. Our hope is an energizing hope. The Apostle Paul writes to the Corinthians in 2 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 12, and he says, "Then, seeing then we have such hope, we use great plainness," and the better word is boldness, "of speech." We are bold. We are just really quite positive about these things. And we are indeed positive about these things. Not quite positive. We are positive. And these things can be said to be positive because God says they are. And we have His Word, and that is really the basis of our hope. His Word, God's Word. Now, it's an energizing hope. It's a hope that treats us like this. We don't have long to stay here. The Lord may come and take us away to heaven soon. Let us be up and doing. We use great boldness of speech. Christ is coming. There is a hope for everyone who knows Him, who has trusted Him with their souls, believing that He died on the cross for them, just putting their salvation in His hands, depending wholly and solely upon what Christ has done. Now, it's not only an energizing hope, it's a comforting hope. In 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, and we read there about the Apostle Paul. We're going to dwell on it at length later in the broadcast, but we'll just mention it now as hope's service to us. He tells these Thessalonians about the coming of the Lord Jesus and what's going to happen. And then he concludes his little message to them, "Wherefore comfort one another with these words." And oh, how comforting they are, that we can comfort especially. And that portion of Scripture is often read at funeral services, where the Lord is coming. We are going to be joined with our loved ones in that day to come, and we have the Word of God for it, and that is the basis of our comfort. Wherefore, comfort one another with these words. And then it is a joy-giving hope. We read in Hebrews chapter 3 and verse 6 these words, "But Christ as a son over His own house, whose house we are, if we hold fast the confidence and rejoicing of the hope firm unto the end." Now, we have that confidence and that rejoicing. It's a rejoicing hope. And there are other scriptures that bear this out just as well as that one there. Romans 15, for instance, and verse 13. These words, "Now the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing, that ye may abound in hope through the power of the Holy Ghost." That's the energy of the energizing hope, is the power of the Holy Ghost. We may indeed, the God of hope will fill you with all joy and peace in just simply believing Him. So indeed, it is a joy-giving hope. And there's another verse that could support it, for that matter, Romans 12 and 12, rejoicing in hope, remember it? patient in tribulation, continuing instant in prayer. Now, it is a purifying hope as well. In the first epistle of John, in chapter 3, verses 2 and 3, we read these words, "Beloved, now are we the sons of God, and it doth not yet appear what we shall be, but we know when he shall appear, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. And every man that hath this hope in him purifieth himself, even as he is pure." Now, the Apostle John is bringing for us here our destiny. We're going to be made just like Christ. We're going to be in his image. And the image, that old Adamic image, it will be gone. We're going to be like our Lord Jesus. Let me read that verse again. So comforting. "Beloved, now are we the sons of God, and it doth not yet appear what we shall be. But we know when he shall appear, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. Every man that hath his hope in him purifieth himself, even as he is pure." So we see that it is a purifying hope, and it's a rewarding hope as well. We read in 1 Thessalonians chapter 2 and verse 19 these words, "For what is our hope or joy or crown of rejoicing?" You notice that, please, crown of rejoicing. "Are not even ye in the presence of our Lord Jesus Christ at his coming?" At the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ, immediately following that reunion in the clouds with our loved ones and with our Lord Jesus Christ, we will go to the judgment seat of Christ. That is the next event in the program as far as the Christian is concerned. Now, when we are there at the judgment seat of Christ, we will be rewarded for our service for him. And the reward that Paul is speaking about is the Thessalonians themselves. This is a living reward. What is our hope or joy or crown of rejoicing? Are not even ye in the presence of our Lord Jesus Christ at his coming? That will be his crown, to see those Thessalonians there. They are going to be his crown. And it is a living hope, a comforting hope, and a living hope. Now, for the rest of the broadcast, let's consider hope's realization. And for this, we turn to the fourth chapter of 1 Thessalonians, where we read in verse 13, "But I would not have you to be ignorant, brethren, concerning them which are asleep." Now, the Apostle Paul means those that have passed away into the presence of the Lord. The Christian is not said in the Scriptures to have died. He's only asleep. Why is he asleep? Because when the Lord comes, he will shout with a voice that awakens him, and that indeed the figure of sleep is well chosen. We'll read the verse again. "I would not have you ignorant, brethren, concerning them which are asleep, that ye sorrow not, even as others which have no hope. For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so them also which sleep in Jesus will God bring with him. For this we say unto you by the word of the Lord, and that we which are alive and remain, rather, unto the coming of the Lord shall not precede them which are asleep. For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, and with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. So shall we ever be with the Lord. Wherefore comfort one another with these words." The comfort that hope gives us. Comfort one another with these words. What's going to happen at that moment when our Lord Jesus Christ comes? What's going to happen? The Apostle Paul tells us what's going to happen in the 15th chapter of 1 Corinthians. This chapter is frequently read at Christian funerals. Verse 51 of 1 Corinthians 15, "Behold, I show you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, that is, all die in Christ, but we shall all be changed. In a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trump, if you please, for the trumpet shall sound, and the dead shall be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed. For this corruptible must put on incorruption, and this mortal must put on immortality. So when this corruptible shall have put on incorruption, and this mortal shall have put on immortality, then shall be brought to pass the saying that is written, Death is swallowed up in victory. O death, where is thy sting? O grave, where is thy victory? The sting of death is sin, and the strength of sin is the law. But thanks be to God, which giveth us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. When this hope is realized, when this hope is realized, we will be changed. We will lose that old Adamic nature that is prone to sin. We that are alive, of course, those that are dead in Christ and come with him, they lost that old Adamic nature the moment they died and went into the presence of the Lord. But here, we, when he comes, still have that Adamic nature, that nature that is prone to sin. Now, when he comes, we will be changed in a moment of time, a twinkling of an eye, and that nature will be gone. Never will we feel again the stifling effect of sin. Never will it enter into the picture. We shall be changed. We shall be like our Lord Jesus Christ, as John tells us in his first epistle, chapter 3, verse 2, we just read it. We shall be just like our Lord Jesus Christ, but we will not have that old Adamic nature. So much is going to be accomplished. We will see the Lord in his glory. He's coming with his glory. We read that, you remember, in Titus chapter 2, verse 13, looking for that blessed hope and the glorious appearing of the great God and our Savior Jesus Christ. We might paraphrase it, and the appearing of the glory of the great God and our Savior Jesus Christ. He's coming to meet us in all his glory. That is going to be his reward for you and for me for what we endured down here. Oh, what a blessed hope in view. And that indeed is a part of hope's realization. Now, we will be done for sin forever, and we shall have the full knowledge of God and of his dealings. We're going to understand this. It will be explained to us at the judgment seat of Christ. There will be no questions remaining in our minds after the judgment seat of Christ. Everything shall be made plain. We shall serve him in a kingly capacity. We read this in Revelation chapter 22. We're going to be busy in eternity, busy serving the Lord who died for us. This is our blessed hope, the glorious return of our Lord Jesus Christ. Our Father, today we thank you for the hope that you've given the Christian. It is so positive that we can be very bold in declaring it. And we pray that you will just bless it to the hearts of those who listen, who know the Lord, and for those who don't, we pray that they will trust the Lord real soon. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.